B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you from Banner's Kitchen and Tap here at the Garden, also known as the Echo Chamber.
Yeah.
If we don't sound right, let us know, and we'll start pressing buttons. But we got you covered up until 6 o'clock tonight in advance of Bruins Penguins here at the Garden. I've got a lot to get to today. I want to get to a lot of different stuff. I do want to do a lot on the NFL playoff weekend. So I got a bunch of different thoughts on that, on the matchups and how they relate to the Patriots. A little Brady follow-up, which I don't think we did Brady watch yesterday, which is
amazing.
Now, really, in hindsight, disappointing.
Yeah, it feels wrong.
I'm disappointed in myself. We didn't do Brady watch yesterday. We'll definitely do a little bit of that today. I do want to follow up on the Red Sox and the developments there. Carlos Beltran, he didn't make it very long there in New York.
Seriously, he managed the Mets for 5 minutes.
So more developing opinions on that situation. That'll be coming your way. But here's where I want to start. We are here in advance of Bruins. And the Celtics played last night. And I'm getting a little agitated with both teams, I got to tell you. And I don't think I'm the only one. So here's a question to you. Here's a question to the people of Boston. And Billy's behind the glass, so you may release the hounds on this question at 617-779-0985. This is how we're going to start. Who's pissing you off more right now, the Bruins or the Celtics?
Oh, for me, it's the Bruins. Absolutely the Bruins. And again, some of this obviously is a matter of what your expectations were for each team. So I thought the Celtics were going to have their share of issues during the course of the year, but the Bruins, I feel like they've gone to sleep. I don't know what the hell's going on there. So to me, it's the Bruins. I feel like their ceiling is higher than the Celtics. I expect more out of the Bruins. And so as a result, to me, absolutely the hockey team. Absolutely.
And for me, it's the Celtics, because they make me feel like a sucker right now. Because on the Sports Hub Celtics show, which I host with Chris Gasper, Saturdays here on the Sports Hub, 2 weeks ago, I declared them the third best team in the NBA. And a lot of it stems from the Christmas Day game that they won in Toronto. I know, no Pascal Siakam, but they never win there regardless. After that, I was like, that was like a holy crap moment for me. Since then, or just in the last 2 weeks, this team's completely gone in the tank. That last night, inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable. And how many times can you apply that term to these games they've played in the last 2 weeks? Spurs, Washington just last week. That last week against the Spurs, I thought was maybe the most disappointing game of the year. No, now it's last night.
Celtics is the answer. And I'm pissed at both of them. So, you know, on NBC Sports Boston, the simulcast follows us today here at the Banners, as they do every day. We beam across New England and the country on the simulcast. They're asking which winter team is more frustrating. And so, no, which team pisses you off from? Which team is more effing annoying right now? It should be, but it's TV, so they sanitize everything. Which team is pissing you off more right now? And they're both pissing me off. But it's the Celtics. It's the Celtics. The Bruins, and it's about the nature of the sport, too. I mean, it really doesn't matter whether they win or lose on a given night, because home ice doesn't really matter. It really matters what kind of team you are and how you're playing when the playoffs start and all of that. And the seeding doesn't matter. Home ice doesn't matter. It's what you are as a team. And I have a big problem with the Bruins of what they are as a team, which I'll get to in a second. But in the NBA, it does matter. If you're a 4 seed, or if you're a 5 seed, if you're on the road in the NBA playoffs, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Unless you're LeBron's Cavaliers, which the Celtics are not. Okay? So right now, they're the 3 seed. I think they're a half game or a game behind Miami. They're grouped with that, you know, that big lump of Eastern Conference swag is what they're lumped with. And I think they're better than that. I think they're better than that, especially because Philly's, you know, having all sorts of problems. They're puking all over themselves. Philly's, I think, 6 right now. And you can't separate from that pack, which to me is aggravating. But what's even more aggravating is I don't feel like they quite know how to win at the level they need to win at. I don't see any killer instinct. I don't see any, you know, every now and then in the NBA regular season, there's a moment where you got to sort of establish what you are. Again, unless you're LeBron's Cavaliers, which is a total outlier. For this Celtics team, I mean, again, I asked you last week, and it still applies. What's their signature win?
They don't have one.
What's their signature win?
I still say Christmas Day, Toronto. And if you want to put an asterisk on it because of no Siakam, fine. But to me, that's their big win.
And that's it. And that's a huge asterisk, the Bucks in the first week of the year.
Sure.
So, I mean, last week, Murray's right. We were in the exact same spot last week where they have a home San Antonio game followed by
Sixers.
Second of back-to-back at the Sixers on TNT. So that's a spot for you. Okay, so they fall asleep early against San Antonio, then have this big comeback, and then get totally derailed by the stupid non-call on Kemba Walker, and he gets thrown out, and they implode. And then the next night, they blow a 15-point lead in Philadelphia without Embiid. It's like, come on! Like, somewhere in there, you've got to establish something. Somewhere in there, between the San Antonio comeback or holding on in Philly without Embiid, you got to win one of those games, especially the Philly one, and show me what you are and show everyone that you can rise to the occasion and you know how to win and close. And they don't. And now we're in the exact same spot. Home game against a wretched Detroit team. They blow.
6-14 on the road, that team.
Okay, so they don't show up. They don't show up. Maybe they're looking ahead to tonight to Milwaukee. You're in Milwaukee. TNT. Chuck, Shaq, Kenny, the whole thing. Your Eastern Conference rival. What are you going to do tonight? What are you going to do? Are you going to show me one thing in one of these spots once this year? That's why I'm more frustrated with the Celtics.
Okay, so again, your expectations for the Celtics to me are out of whack. So you have every right to pick the Celtics. I look at the Bruins. I'll tell you what my problem is now. So I don't know if I want to use this word because I have felt this way now since last spring when they played the Blues. So I don't know if I'm going to call them soft. Soft is probably a little strong. But they're easy to push around. They're not big enough. And so I look at it and I say, they got the same problem they had a year ago. They go up against teams that want to lean on them or that want to give their goalie a shot in the head and no one will answer for it. And then Brent Ritchie gets designated the next day or released the next day, effectively put on waivers. The Bruins aren't tough enough. Bruins are not tough enough.
It's a potential fatal flaw.
It is, and this has been going on now. We saw it with Pasternak early in the year. I remember you brought up something that Fluto Shinzawa had written about there's a formula to beat the Bruins, and I think everybody knows it now. So now the thing the other night sort of introduces even a bigger issue than that. But I look at it and I say, I just think if teams get physical with the Bruins, they have problems with it.
They have to get tougher.
The Bruins aren't tough enough.
Absolutely. And my big worry is that just by making a trade or bringing someone in or calling someone up, it won't be enough because it's got to be in your DNA, all right? And so, like, I find it interesting, right? Because, and I know you've been big on this, Maz, that in the past, the Bruins worried way too much about the other thing. The big, bad Bruins, don't poke the bear. Like, it got stupid, right? Like, okay, big deal. You won the fight and you're tough in the corner. You can't score and you have no skill and you lose. So what's the point? And I think the Bruins as a franchise got carried away with that other thing for way too long.
No question.
Okay, so now we're in this era, and Don Sweeney and what they've done is they've built around speed and skill. Smart. Good job. Okay? You've got to focus on, it's a speed and skill league, and so that's what they've done. Have they gone too far in the other direction?
Yes, and look, I know people want to cite Kevin Miller all the time, too. Like, boy, they could really use Kevin Miller, and they could. They need a big forward. They need a big forward. Against the Blues last year, it was a problem. So now, look, the one thing that's hard to gauge is that you look at the series with the Blues and you say, well, was Pasternak right because of the whole thing with the thumb? Bergeron clearly wasn't right. Even Marchand had an issue, I think. But how much of that was the physical problems and how much of that was the size and who they are? And because I think that that line has been bullied in the past. Not just last spring. It's happened to them in the past. I think that's the way to combat that line. And if you shut down that line, you shut down the Bruins because they're not deep enough. They need a big forward.
Okay, so my worry is that if you just get that one forward, that's still, it's, have they lost their DNA? You know, have they lost that Bruins DNA? Are they tough enough as a team from front to front to bottom? And Pasternak and Marchand, and, you know, those are never going to be big bruising players, but can they withstand the physicality? Can they play a physical game? Can they still excel when teams are being physical against them?
I mean, it doesn't feel to me like they can. That's why I say I'm reluctant to call them soft, because I think they play hard. You know, they're competitive. You know, and I'm not saying that every game has been like that lately. I'm saying as a general rule, the makeup of the team, they're competitive. But, what, you know, to me, the way to combat them is to do what the Blues did to them. Lean on them. Push them around. And
they're just not built that way.
They're not built that way, which is, this is why I'm worried about it.
And right, does one trade, does one forward do anything about this?
Well, so I'll tell you, though, if it's a big forward, someone that can play with some level of physicality, this is why they brought Richie in.
They need a whole attitude adjustment as a team.
Yeah, I think, you know.
I mean, the thing the other night where Rask gets elbowed in the head.
But, Mike, if they adjust their attitude, they're still too small.
To have freaking Nordstrom go after the guy in the second period? I mean, that's a joke.
Yeah, it's bad. Bad. And so, again, I'm not dismissing the attitude part of it. That thing the other night was ridiculous. Okay, ridiculous. But they had the right attitude last year, and they still got pushed around by the Blues.
Well, I don't see. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they weren't tough enough last year, and we just ignored it until it mattered.
Well, so, see, I think it's a size thing, too. I think they need a bigger forward somewhere in there. And whether it's next to Krejci or the...
So where was the size last year?
No, we didn't ignore it. That revisionist history, because you said your concern with that team last year, I'm sorry to keep cutting you off, was that they couldn't score 5-on-5. And that was their issue. And it seems to be the same thing this year, too. And that has to deal with the fact that they're not big enough.
I'm just saying this started last year.
Yeah, but again, they had an easy road last year.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, they caught a break there. So they didn't have to play Washington, who's big and tough. And Tampa, who's also got some fortitude and strength and mass. So they skated.
Yeah.
Well, Columbus had a little bit of that, but Columbus didn't have the depth to beat the Bruins.
All right, they got away with it last year.
So I'm telling you, they need more. They need more. They
got away with it until they didn't. But as soon as they run into a team like that, that has a combination of it. I mean, maybe Columbus was more physical than them, but they didn't maybe have the skills. So, I mean, you can't just be a bunch of thugs, you got to have that balance of it.
They've gone too far the other way.
They've gone too far in the other direction. I mean, I think that's, and my worry is that they make that move, they call up that guy. Okay, so now you have that guy, but is the team attitude just, you know, what's in their DNA? What's their mindset? Is one player going to change their mindset? They got to have a whole, I think, attitude adjustment as a team.
See, but I believe in the leadership of the team. I believe in Chara's mentality. I believe in Bergeron's mentality.
Chara gets it. I mean, Chara, it's sad that Chara's the guy that has to do all the cleaning up. The guy's 43. He's still skating around out there with, you know, a broken jaw and a wired jaw, and he's taking the fights most nights and getting cracked on the jaw. I mean, that guy is tough. That guy is a warrior. Chara's like become my favorite athlete in Boston. But he shouldn't have to be the guy. He's the captain. He's a defenseman. You don't want your defenseman being the enforcer anyway, because you only have six of them, and it's tough when you lose that ice time.
With his age, it's just not sustainable. And you can't ask him to do that.
It's just he shouldn't be doing it. The jaw's got to heal up. He shouldn't be taking fights. So, you know, other guys have got to step in for Char, so he's not the one doing it.
I want a big forward. I wanted a big forward last year. Now, look, I'm not telling you Johansson wasn't good, because he was. But at the end of the day, he's a finesse player, too. They need somebody who's going to, like, I don't want to use the cliche of create space, but how about knock some people on their ass in a crowd?
Okay, 617-779-0985. Who's pissing you off more right now, the Bruins or the Celtics? Your thoughts after this.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is your home of the Bruins. It's game day, and Felger and Maz are broadcasting from Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pistons take the shot clock violation. The Celtics will inbound it one more time, and a very disappointing night for the Celtics comes to an end. The clock will hit triple zeros, and the last place you want to go with your head down is into Milwaukee with Giannis and the 36-6 Bucks waiting for you. But the Celtics lay an egg on their home floor tonight, and they take a double-digit home loss to the 14-27 Detroit Pistons. The final score, Detroit 116, Boston 103.
Okay, when is this team going to show you something? Well, they have a nice record. They're right there neck and neck for the second seed in the East, which is just what I thought they'd be. okay, two seed, nipping at the heels of the Bucks. They're not nipping at the heels of the Bucks. They're like 7-8 games behind. The Bucks are on pace for 70 wins or something.
Oh, yeah, they're blowing away the field.
Yeah, yeah. Kiss the one seed goodbye.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
they,
but
36-6 or
yeah,
something?
36-6. So, you know, I didn't expect the Celtics to, you know, I expected the Celtics to nip at the heels of the Bucks, be the two seed, take the Bucks deep in the East Finals. That's still on the table. The Celtics are right there in the 2-3 seed, but it's just...
There's something up with their compete level right now that bugs the crap out of me.
There's something up with their compete. Go ahead.
For two straight Wednesdays now against inferior competition, especially last night, it's like they showed up and didn't even want to be there. And I would think, even with Tatum out last night with this little knee thing, and he's going to play tonight, it sounds like. Well, usually when you have one of those forwards out, it frees someone up. You have Brown go off, or you have Hayward go off, and he had a decent enough night last night. But that still wasn't enough. Their defense sucked, and I think as good as the team has been defensively, and I think is defensively, that's more a mentality thing than anything else. So what's going on there? And I don't think that they're the same gutless bunch that they were last year, but something's off.
So it's just that, you know, there's a couple spots here coming up that they just... They got to show something. Maybe it's tonight. I still think the Bucks are vulnerable. I do not think they are a 70-win team in the mold of the Warriors or the Chicago Bulls with Jordan. They're not that team. They're beatable. And Giannis is still imperfect. And you can defend him. You can. Not enough teams do. But to me, it's kind of simple. And if they do it tonight, you'll see it. Build a wall. Take the charge. You know, just, you know, you sort of lay off right in front of that restricted area, the little semicircle underneath the rim. Let him run into you. Let him charge. Let him pull up and hit a mid-range shot. He'll chuck the three. Giannis will. And his three-point game has gotten better, and he shoots more out there, and he hits more out there. But it's either that or charging to the rim. He doesn't want to pop up in the middle. And if not, you stand there and take the charge. Easy for me to say. But if you're willing to sit there and take the charge, you get them in foul trouble early, and you can beat that team. You can do it.
So do you want a big out there? Do you want Kanter out there?
I don't even think you need that, because he'll toast Kanter. It's team defense. It's team defense and building a wall and taking a charge and daring him to just stop and pop in the mid-range.
And I know other guys in the past, the smaller guys, Smart, Ojale, have done a decent job in certain games against Giannis. But the thing that's bugging... So I wonder how people feel about the coach right now, too, because I think he's on a bad run. You know, everyone, God forbid you say anything bad about Brad Stevens, but I think it's fair to point out, especially on a night like last night, when people are clamoring for a big here, got to get a big, they're a big away, got to get a big. The bench is the problem. They have no secondary scoring on that bench. It stinks. I think they had 20, it was 23 to the Pistons, 47 last night. Again, inexcusable. It's a bad Pistons team. But the big... I don't know. Kanter played 16 minutes last night. 16? And when he was out there, he was doing a good job defensively to almost 40 to Andre Drummond. And so he goes with the stretch four and Tice more than Kanter in a game like that. And they're getting killed in the paint. Like, there's things rotationally that I don't like that Stevens is doing right now, and that's one of them. And I question how he is as a motivator. Like,
I think they're going to get blasted tonight, if you want to know the truth. That's my two cents. I hope I'm wrong. I think the only way they win this game is if Milwaukee doesn't show up.
So this is the trend, though, of the year. I mean, again, last week, home San Antonio at Philly. There's a little something there next night, and they go 0-2. All right, now here you are. Home Detroit should be a layup at Milwaukee, nationally televised game, chief rival in the East. You show me anything in this little stretch here? Next week on Monday night, Lakers are in town.
Yep.
National TV.
It's a big one.
You're going to show up and get away?
It's a big one, absolutely.
They need a signature win. A week from Tuesday when we're in Miami, we'll be there at the Heat. It's them in Miami for the number two seed. You're at Miami. That's a lower degree of difficulty. Can you get one of these wins? You know, you got to start doing it. And then Philly comes in here Saturday the 1st, the day before the Super Bowl. So there's a few little spots here coming up. You got to start getting some of these.
Yeah, look, they've been getting off to bad starts, too, which is another issue, right? It's like they're not ready to play at the beginning of these games. It's happened over and over and over again. So I just think, I mean, you know what my feeling is. I just don't think they have a great player. They get some good ones. They don't have a great player. And really, when you look at it, I think they're kind of physically soft. I like Kanter, actually. I think Kanter plays with some...
I think mentality-wise, they're soft.
So maybe.
Or they don't know how to win, or they don't have that thing to step on someone's throat, or some sort of cliche intangible.
I mean, smart
is what they're lacking. Because I do think they have the talent, Maz, and we'll just agree to disagree on that. I think they're lacking something else. You know, maybe maturity. That's just another example of young teams don't win at a high level in that league. Or... you know, you said to me when we were coming back, or just, you know, just before I go to the phones, I was right about Gordon Hayward. What'd you mean by that?
So I just think that Hayward overall is a finesse player. That's really where I sort of, he's soft.
He gets hurt and then he comes back and he's not the same guy. And is he grind? Does he grind?
No, like, so look, again, he.
Or does he glide?
The way I would describe, he glides.
He glides. He doesn't
grind.
He's a
finesse player. Yeah, he's a finesse player. It's a, you know, and it's fine if you get the right people around him and he can facilitate and do those sort of, do the, play the heady game that he does. But there was a play last night where he got a pass from after Tice stole the ball from Drummond that Hayward got kind of a breakaway and a guy kind of came up behind him. I just thought he went up kind of weak and soft. He got disrupted, ended up with free throws. Go to the rim like you mean it. For crying, instead of turning around and trying to avoid the contact and go to the rim like you mean it. And I don't love Hayward. I don't. And, you know, he's fine. He's a good player. But they don't have a great player, and he's part of the problem.
Bruins Celtics, who's pissing you off more? Sorry it took so long to get to your phones. Charlie and Fall River on the Bees. Go, Charlie.
Michael, before you get to my main point, I got to ask you a question. You find it all suspicious that Tuukka Rask can take a 90-mile-an-hour slap shot off the mask, but a padded elbow puts him on the IR?
So... what I would be suspicious of, Charlie, is that he did the same thing. I say he did the same thing last year. The same thing happened last year. He doesn't want to play in the All-Star game. He bags out in the All-Star game. He says, I want to go somewhere tropical with my family. And now we're heading up to the All-Star break, and he's out.
It's exactly. That's why I think this happened. That's why I think he got elbowed, because he bowed out of the All-Star game, and it doesn't look good to the league. And I think the team is headed up to here with him, and that's why they didn't defend him, because I can't stand the guy. I think that's the issue.
So maybe, I don't know. Even if you hate your goalie, you have
no
to defend
excuse.
Him. You have to defend him.
It's no excuse.
Let me tell you something. They, you know, Tim Thomas didn't have a friend in every corner of that locker room. He was a strange cat, as we all know, and guys felt differently about him, but they all fought for each other, so no excuse. No excuse. I mean, and the caller, I have no idea if he's right. I've never heard anything like that. I think they like Tuukka. I think they stood behind him last year when he had his personal problems, so I've got no inkling of what he's talking about. But I'm telling you, even if he is right, that you still have to defend your goalie, and it's not in their DNA. They have a DNA problem in terms of toughness. The game has gone to speed and skill, and they've followed along with that, and they've been smart to do it, but it's still hockey, and at some point you have to have some toughness.
That thing with Tuukka, though, was alarming, because I don't remember seeing that with them in the last year and a half. In other words, what was the game last year? Remember someone got hit and John Moore immediately came to someone's defense, even though he had just come off an injury?
I don't remember.
Like, they've answered for one another in the past. I'm worried more about their ability to compete, because I think this thing was an aberration. I do. I'm worried more about their ability to compete against teams that get physical with them.
Kevin in Boston. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So the team's pissing me off more right now is the Celtics. I mean, they have all the pieces right now, and they lose to a hack team like that last night. I mean, I'm looking for, like, Kevin Garnett to get in there and start working with Taco. I don't care if Taco goes in tonight and plays Giannis all night. Let him follow out. What's it going to matter? Hit Giannis. Hit him hard. He's weak. He's soft. He's going to break down.
Okay, so Giannis is not weak and soft.
And they don't have all the pieces. Let's not be delusional about
that. And I question how much Brad Stevens likes playing genuine big men. Again, look at the minutes last night that Cantor got it. It was inexcusable because he was good defensively. 16 to Drummond's 40. Instead, you have more Daniel Tice. He prefers to stretch 4 to an actual 5. I think that has now become pretty apparent. There's a stubbornness with big men with Brad Stevens. So I don't think that that's what they're missing. They're missing scoring on the bench. The bench stinks.
Their bench does stink. Murray's right about that. It stunk all year.
The Celtics team should be better. They should be better. They should have more quality wins. They should have fewer nights like they did last night. And I'm starting to get concerned. I haven't seen it.
You're worried about your tank.
Oh, of course I'm worried about my tank.
That's the most important thing.
It is the most important. That's it, man.
They're exactly what I thought they were. They're a B team. That's what they are.
They
B.
Should be better. Here's Murray's update. We'll give you an update on the Red Sox and that situation. Continue with your calls. Who's pissing you off more right now in Boston? Right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's Bruins game day. Felger and Maz are live at Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Do you guys think Alex Cora deserves a second chance to manage at some point in the major leagues?
I'll take that. I think Alex is an incredibly talented manager and accomplished great things with us. And he expressed remorse. He apologized yesterday to us for the embarrassment that this caused. And I think he'll go through a process of rehabilitation. And so we'll see what happens. It would be hard to speculate, but he's an extreme talent.
Now to the fallout growing from that World Series cheating scandal. The Red Sox firing manager Alex Cora, who helped both the Houston Astros and the Red Sox.
Cheat.
It started with Spygate.
That Musa Tomazzi made all that up.
And the stopping of those tapes.
Nobody can know about this.
Then the scheme with the balls got uncovered and spoiled.
Stop denying science, Felger. Ideal gas law.
Who cares? We got six rings.
Yeah, kiss the rings.
Is what the Pats fans say.
They hate us because they hate us.
Now it's the Red Sox with drama and broil.
The Sox issuing a joint statement with Cora announcing they have mutually agreed to part ways.
Skating away again here in Cheaterville.
You guys are making all this up. You're a couple of drama queens.
Alex Cora stealing signs so they draw walks.
And so that Jackie Bradley Jr., who sucks, can hit .272 with runners in scoring position.
Sox fans will claim that there are other teams to blame, but they know.
We don't know nothing. F*** you.
That last title's a crock.
Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk.
Okay, it's Felger and Mazur from Banner's Kitchen and Tap in the heart of Cheaterville.
We don't know nothing.
Blame Maz. You were the impetus for this. You put the email chain this morning. Welcome to Cheaterville. And it just hit me. I was like, oh, I know what I can do with this.
Cheaterville.
Yep. Cheaterville. That's where we live now, Cheaterville.
Yeah, take a ride on the Cheaterville Railroad.
Yeah, come down this holiday season.
So
yeah, we're going to Cheaterville.
I never thought a lifetime ban was on the table for Alex Cora until that answer last night. Like, boy, they were afraid to touch that.
Big time.
That big pause before no one would answer. And, of course, Sam Kennedy's the only one who's like, fine, I'll take it. And he doesn't really answer it, even though, you know, they still gave him a lot of credit up and down that press conference. They weren't willing to say he'd make a great manager again, because I don't know. Do they know that he's going away for a long, long time and he's not going to have that opportunity? And that's what that reflected. I mean, I still think that would be insane. I don't think he deserves that. I don't think he should get it. I don't think he will get it. But that's the first time I thought, ooh, well, maybe that's in play.
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be a lifetime ban. I don't know that. I mean, who does? Nobody does. But I think that they understood the magnitude of the issue, and that they said, you know, if this guy were on the market, we wouldn't hire him, right? We can't. We'd like to, but we can't. And so the only thing working in Cora's favor here is that he's young. He's young. So 10 years from now, who knows, right? Maybe he goes and works for a team. I said you go, you know, you go to work for a team in an academy in Puerto Rico or even in the Dominican or wherever, somewhere in the Caribbean. You're an instructor for a while. Then you get back on a staff. Maybe you do some scouting, and then who knows? But it's going to be a while. We're not going to see him for a long time.
So what's the latest allegation out there that's percolating on the interwebs?
Well, I mean, it really is just beginning, is the way that this is really starting to look. Like, how deep does this go? How much cheating was going on even more with the Houston Astros? There's someone claiming to be Carlos Beltran's niece. Now, Carlos Beltran, the third manager out since this whole thing unfolded. And she has been tweeting a lot of information before it's actually broke, like Beltran stepping down. This person, the fake niece here, has had this the last couple of days. Now, she's tweeting that she's told to stay quiet, but I refuse. Jose Altuve and Bregman wore devices that buzzed on the inside right shoulder from the hallway video guy. Let's get it all out now. I have pictures from the locker I will keep for a rainy day. Altuve didn't want the shirt torn off, if I remember. Maybe I misspoke. But this person, who is now being debunked that it has nothing to do with Beltran's family, but it sounds like it's someone from the Houston Astros organization that is leaking this information.
So again, and we don't need to revisit the numbers for Altuve in the postseason in 2017. He hit, I don't have it in front of me.
1,000 points OPS home road, right?
Yeah, he hit 440 at home, 150 on the road, and the OPS was 1,000 different.
So these guys were wearing some kind of Morse code type buzzing device. Those that remember the movie Casino, the guys that are cheating at the blackjack table, they had that same kind of operation. So it's going like tap, tap, tap. That's going to be a curveball. Tap, tap, tap. That's going to be, you know.
Right, sure.
So they're wearing that. Now, what makes this really feel, it look like there's something to this, in the series last year in the playoffs between the Astros and Yankees, there's footage of Altuve about to cross the plate after he hits a home run, telling his teammates, "Don't tear my jersey off." He's grabbing the jersey, saying like, "No, no, no, no," doing the finger wag, saying, "Don't tear this off." Why? Typically in celebration, you're going to party. You just won the game. Let's celebrate. Tear the jersey off. Let's, you know, spray each other with Gatorade and everything else and have a party. Don't tear my jersey off. Why?
You know why? Because he's wearing a wire.
Because he's wearing the buzzer.
God. He's wearing a wire.
Jesus.
Seriously.
And he's
wearing a wire.
The Ace Rothstein cheater's justice.
Okay, so you wonder, are there any Red Sox walk-offs 2 years ago where the guy didn't want his jersey torn off? Like, people are going to start to look at this, right?
Of course. Yes. And so, I can't speak to it specifically off the top of my head.
Wearing buzzers underneath their jerseys. Tapping them fastball curve.
Yeah.
Again. Jesus. Seriously.
Cut a deal with the FBI.
Seriously.
Wearing a wire.
Well, but I mean, this is obviously a different kind of wire. But
well, I know. I mean, I'm making an analogy.
But this,
metaphor.
But this is the whole thing. This is the whole thing. This is... If Alex was doing it there, what did he do here? And are there going to be, moles pouring out of the woodwork online doing the same thing to the Red Sox are doing to the Astros? I mean, I don't trust them.
Boy, heads are rolling on this thing. I mean, you've already got a GM and three managers. Three managers and a GM in the span of 3 days, 4 days.
Did Beltran deserve it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, based on that report, yeah, he absolutely did.
I mean, he was in the middle of it as much as Cora and, anybody else. And I include Hinch. I'm sorry. I don't care whether Hinch destroyed the monitors or not. Deep down, he didn't really want to know. And neither did Lunau, for that matter. Don't kid yourself on that one. Lunau got the memo and didn't circulate it among his people when he got it from Manfred. Didn't circulate the memo. So talk about just spitting in the face of the commissioner. Like, I have no compassion for any of these people with regard to this singular incident.
That's what he's... Was that in the report, or has that come out subsequently?
So I think it was in a report, but I also heard that from someone in a conversation.
Yeah.
But I think it was in a report. So I don't think I'm, like, breaking news or anything. But, to me, this was one of those things that, like, they just... I'm glad Beltran got it because he was a player at the time, and somebody that was a player needed to pay, too.
Well, but I said it on day one. He was a player-ish. He was very much a contemporary and a peer of Cora. He was the 25th guy in the roster. He got 3 at-bats in that World Series. He wasn't really playing, but he was working the system. So it was like he and Alex Cora pretty much, they were the ones setting up and doing the buzzing and doing the relaying and doing the whole system. I mean, Beltran, if he benefited from it, it was only 3 at-bats. So he was really more akin to what Cora was doing than what the players were doing.
Oh, yeah. No, totally, which is why I'm glad he got it. Again, once you start going after guys who benefited in at-bats, now you're going to go after the whole team, right? So my point being that Beltran was a leader. He was a leader of it. He was a centerpiece of it. I'm glad that there was at least somebody other than a coach or a manager in uniform who's getting drilled for it.
Okay, back to your calls on everything. This, who's pissing you off more, the Bruins or the Celtics? Long commercial-free segment. We'll do it next.
Boston's home for sports. Felger has 95 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
From Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden, it's Bruins Game Day with Felger and Mass on your home of the Bruins, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the Bruins get a skate on it, and they'll exit the puck. Now we've got a stop as Rask is down in the blue paint. 18:48 left here in the first, and we're scoreless. And yep. Don Del Negro will start to jog on the ice.
He might have taken an elbow or a shot up high from Bemstrom. Bemstrom came through the crease area and caught him with a bit of an elbow up high, and Bruins now having a long conversation with Bemstrom going after him. They just realized it. It was behind the play. Nobody saw it. He was coming back through the crease. Hard to tell whether it was intentional or not, but Halak's going to have to come in. He's going to have to go get checked out.
It was intentional, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I know, I don't remember the player's name. He's a rookie, right?
Benstrom.
I know he said after the game he didn't do it on purpose, and the comments, and I don't believe it. I'm sorry, the way he stuck his arm out, that was, to me, he absolutely did it with the intention to hit Rask in the head.
And Beer says, you know, the Bruins are going after him now. They never really went after him.
No.
In the second period, Nordstrom went after him, which is like, why Nordstrom? And then, you know, well, it's a countryman, are they both Swedes? And so, like, they sort of think that's a fair, they're not going to send Chara after the guy, because he'll just pummel him, and that's not the way it's done. You got to send sort of someone in their weight class after him. I mean, I don't know. But there's just no, the response, the overall DNA of the Bruins should concern you. But I asked, who's pissing you off more right now, the Celtics or the Bruins? That's on the table. We followed up on the Red Sox. Your thoughts on all of it. We'll get to some NFL stuff next hour as well. Scott, Connecticut on the Bees.
Okay, yeah, guys. I want two guys to step up, Cavo and DeBrusk. Jake's dad's got to be shaking his head, just going, wow, my kid's not hitting anybody. Guys, I want out of town, send out Corrali and Grizzlick, get a goal scorer, and bring in Wayne Simmons for toughness.
Okay, Simmons might be one of those guys.
Yeah, so Simmons, he crossed my mind, too. I saw his name's been thrown out there, along with Toffoli and some of the others that are out there.
They would help.
Yeah, that kind of guy.
They would help.
But that's the kind of guy who can, you know, push in front of the net.
You bet. I just worry if they've lost their DNA. You know, I worry if they've lost that component of their DNA and just one trade's not going to get it back. But you still have to do it. You still have to bring those guys in. Is Jake DeBrusk the guy just because his old man was rough?
No.
That's not the way it works.
No. No, look, and, you know, DeBrusk is inconsistent. I mean, you know, it comes and seems to come in bursts with him. And, you know, I'd like to see more out of DeBrusk, too. But at the end of the day, he's not really the problem.
Corrali's one of the few guys out there who hits people. What are you talking about? No, Corrali helps solve that problem. Here's Chris in the car with an NBA thing that I meant to get to as well. Kyrie Irving, did you hear his comments last night?
Yes.
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, my God. This clown strikes again, and he's continuing to throw his teammates under the bus. First, we thought it was LeBron. Then we thought it was the young guys here in Boston. And if you listen to his quote, he says for the Brooklyn Nets, we need pieces. And, like, you're the piece that they brought in to take you over the hump. What are you talking about? I can't stand this guy's ego. And I'm so glad this a-hole is out of Boston. I just want to hear what you guys think. Thank you.
Okay, so, folks, if you didn't hear about it, this is Kyrie's just come back. He's been hurt for forever. He now just comes back, and why is it? Like, why is he just coming back now? Could it be that the All-Star game's coming up and he wants to play in it?
That's exactly what it is.
You know, so he bagged out before because
he missed 26 games with a fake shoulder injury, which really, the more you read into it, it sounds more like, oh, I was depressed or something else was going on, or like he just did, I don't know. He's just such a mental patient. I've had it with this guy.
And now he's back. He's back like 5 minutes. They lose last night to Philadelphia. He comes out and he says, I mean, it's transparent. It's out there. It's glaring. In terms of the pieces that we need in order to be at that next level, he said, I'm going to continue to reiterate it. We're going to do the best we can with the guys that we have in our locker room now, and we'll worry about all the other stuff in terms of moving pieces and everything else as an organization down the line in the summer. Collectively, I feel like we have great pieces, but it's glaring. We need one more piece or two more pieces that will complement myself. Durant, he's complaining about all the players on the team after, like, he's been here. He's been there 5 minutes back from the injury.
Playing GM. Yeah, no, it's great. And being, you know, throwing his teammates under the bus the whole 9 yards.
Oh, this piece of work.
Yeah, thanks for busting your ass while I was out with my fake shoulder injury and being a mope. But I want you guys out of here. You're not good enough.
He really is. He's
I can't stand him.
Oh, my God. He's a raging a-hole.
Unbelievable.
He might be the biggest a-hole in sports.
Oh, my God. All right, so anyway, Steve and Attleboro, quickly.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thank you. Hey, can I ask you something, the three of you? Are you all in agreement that there shouldn't be no lifetime bans? The only reason I'm asking you is this. How else are you going to deter something? Draft picks and money? That doesn't seem to be working.
I don't know if it's not working, Steve. They haven't come down on anyone yet. When all these teams cheated in the past, it was slaps on the wrist. It was a joke. You get caught with an Apple, you get caught with a device in the dugout, an Apple Watch, and the managers are showing up the next day making a joke about it because the penalty is so light. So how do you know if it's going to be a deterrent or not? Because Manfred and baseball's never come down on it like
this. They've just brushed it aside. And you know what? They were ready to brush this aside, too.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not kid ourselves.
If the Athletic didn't start reporting on it, they would not have gone after these teams hard.
But I think people were so agitated by, you know, the Astros, meaning other people around the league, that eventually the thing boiled over. This is like a... I think we're going to look back at this and say, what a massive scandal.
Well, if I'm a pitcher in the game, and the Astros are wearing buzzers underneath their uniforms, getting buzzed and tapped, fastball curve, I'm pissed.
Sure, of course.
Like, I understand there's gamesmanship, and I'm loading the baseball and everything, but there is a line. There is a line, and that's the line. That's the line.
Oh, it's gone way too far. Again, you got these guys up there. Those Altuve numbers, those are going to be plastered all over every website, every place you can find them now. His OPS was 1,000 points higher at home, like he's playing in Colorado, for crying out loud.
Raffy and Brockton, give me a thought on the Celtics.
I'm tired. I'm tired. And I'm tired of Danny Ainge, Rick Rosbach, and Brad Stevens. It's the same thing. It's been the same thing for over 20 years. The same thing. They're looking at teams, and they're not playing the way that they need to be playing. They should have won at least 3 or 4 championships by now, and they haven't done it.
Okay, separate things. Separate things. I think Danny porked you on the Kendrick Perkins trade all those years ago. You should have had 2 in that run, not 1. All, you know, fair. It's a fair second guess. I don't know if today's the day to do it, but I'll give that to you. The team, in my opinion, and I know Maz disagrees, this particular team at this particular time, the issue is not Danny, it's not Wick, it's not any of that. It's more, I'll put Brad on the list, though.
Sure, absolutely.
I think they're underachieving. I think they've started to slip into underachievement. They should be better than this. And
well, Mike, they shouldn't be, you know, where you and I can agree is they shouldn't be losing at home to Detroit.
They should, well, they should, of course they shouldn't. They shouldn't be 0-3 to Philly. They shouldn't be 0 for these big. They're kind of 0 for these big games. Like they haven't won a big game all year, hardly. At Toronto on Christmas Day. No Pascal Siakam. That's a massive.
It's got an asterisk.
Massive asterisk. So fine. Week 1 against the Bucks at home when they came back from a big first half deficit. I'll give you that as a real win. Bucks hadn't settled in. No one had settled in. You know, I mean, so but that's it. And a couple months later, I'm still looking to see a night where they show me who they are and can be, and they haven't done it. And that's not so they're underachieving on that level, and that's on the players, and that's on Stevens. That's not on Ainge.
I mean, they're what? You know, they're I think they're 27-12. They started 10-1. So what's that? You know, 16-11 or 17-11 since then?
I'm not going to do the math myself. I'll trust you on
that.
Okay,
you know, but that's...
So they're better than that. Excellent.
Yeah, I mean...
They've lost 4 of 6.
That is relatively mediocre given who they're losing to and beating.
They've lost 4 of 6, and I don't know if there's a great team on that list. Who they lost to in that, you know, again, in losing these 4 of 6, the teams they've lost to...
Oh, the Wizards, Spurs...
It's been the Wizards, the Spurs at home. The Spurs have a losing record.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, who I still think is so flawed, and I'm right because everyone else beats them. Philadelphia is the 6th seed in the East. So the losses, the 4 of the 6 are the Bullets, the losing Spurs, the overrated Sixers, the Pistons, who are freaking wretched. So this is like, they're better than that. You acknowledge that.
No, that I agree with. Yeah, and look, I would tell you that of late, they've underachieved especially. Now, in the big picture, we can disagree about what they are. But how they're playing right now, not good.
Detroit shot 62% in the first half last night. Again, defense is more mentality than anything else, and their mentality is just, it's out of whack.
Mentality. It's the issue. I'm not telling you they have championship talent, but they have contending talent. They have this team should be sniffing at it talent. And I don't even feel like they are because they're lacking something intangible-wise. And that's starting to occur to me. But, you know, the season ain't half over or just half over. So it's not too late. You know, you can start tonight. But running out of a little bit of patience with that team. All right, so we started Bruins Celtics. Who's pissing you off more? We can continue with that. We update you on the Red Sox stuff. We can continue with that. But we got some NFL thoughts for you coming off the top of the next hour. I'm going to ask you this, and we'll answer it after the top of the hour. Who's... For whom is this weekend most important? In other words, who's got the most at stake this weekend and then really the next? Who needs the championship the most of all the players and coaches left in the field? There's your question. We'll have the answers. Right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.